In a world of, well, in the world that we live in, there's a constant drive to pursue approval and validation. We don't want to be cancelled. We don't want to be left out. We don't want to be left behind. We don't want to be the odd one out. And we often seek approval of others. The desire for human approval can subtly infiltrate every aspect of our lives, whether it's through our achievements, appearance, or status. And it might be that you think, well, yeah, since I've become a Christian, I've been freed from that. I believe that each of us often have temptation to fall back into it. People-pleasing behavior or seeking the approval of others. I know that since I became a Christian many years ago, in 1993, there have been times where with people I've worked for and with, people I've been friends with, that I have sought their approval, and their voice has been the most important voice during a season. I am someone who stands here with scars, wounds that have been healed. You should never get into a pulpit with the wounds that are still oozing. But you can stand as someone who is scarred, wounds that are healed by the grace of God, to be able to say, hey, I stand here today as a former people pleaser, a recovered one. And I believe that Jesus is going to release people this morning as we think about stopping being a people pleaser. You may have come this morning thinking, I don't know what we're going to be looking at. Maybe you weren't here last week when we started a series going through the book of Galatians, which is in the New Testament. If you want to have a Bible, there are some at the back, someone in a blue top. If you put up your hand, they may give you a high five. They may put a Bible in your hand as well. Can I just say, don't leave people hanging if they do have their hand up. Do give them a high five whilst they wait. If you are wanting a Bible and you use one of these, we're looking at a passage that is in the book of Galatians. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, roughly halfway through the Bible, a little over halfway. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Romans 1 and 2 Corinthians. Then we get into God's electric power company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. God's electric power company, and it's on page 1169 of the Bible, if you're using these blue ones. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at this theme that is in this one verse of Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. And if you want to follow the notes using the YouVersion Bible app, you can scan that QR code or go straight into the YouVersion Bible app and go to the events, and you'll find our event there. If you are someone whose mother tongue isn't English, on the YouVersion Bible app, you can read God's words in different languages as well, if you just change the language setting there. And I said about Right Now Media things last week. What we're going to do is we're going to have a look at some things from last week, just briefly, because it's important to know the context in which we find this one verse. You might think we're just looking at one verse today. Great, shorter sermon. It's separated out as one verse because rather than just tagging on to last week's passage, I believe that God wants to do some deeper work, to go a bit deeper and change the roots that we have. As I said, that releasing people from people-pleasing this morning. Last week, we looked at roots. We'll briefly mention that. Then we'll dive deeper into the Bible passage, that one verse. Think about the signs and the impact and the causes of people-pleasing behavior. And then we'll see how Jesus is going to release us from that. Last week, we thought about being rooted in the gospel, being rooted in the right thing, and how Paul, whose name means small, was making Jesus big. And he was saying to a group of people who had been persuaded not to just receive a gospel where Jesus has done, but they've been persuaded to do more things as well as receiving Jesus. And Paul was saying, don't be stupid, don't be so foolish. I'm amazed at how quickly you've gone from a gospel where Jesus has done everything for you to now trying to do things for yourself. And last week we thought about how grace, God's grace, which Paul speaks about in Galatians, he speaks about it in Romans as well. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 9, we looked at this definition. Grace from God is our unearned forgiveness, our unconditional acceptance, and our unmerited favor and love from God as a result of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has done it all, we have unearned forgiveness. We don't need to earn it, but he gifts us forgiveness. Because Jesus has done it all, we have unconditional acceptance and unmerited favor and love shown to us through Jesus. And last week we thought about how these people in Galatia, which is modern day Turkey, they had received the gospel of grace, but had then been tempted by different teachers and tempted to add to it, to go to a legalistic way of living, to earn by doing things, earn God's approval by doing things. And what we find now is Paul is addressing a question, an accusation really. In verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. He starts off by asking in this verse, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings? Why is he asking it? Well, one of the reasons that a number of people who study this passage time and time again, they believe that one of the accusations that was placed against Paul was people were saying he's only saying it's about grace and not having to do anything because he's trying to win your favor. He's trying to give you an easy message and he's watered down what it really is all about. They have accused him of people pleasing. And he's addressing it by saying, look, that accusation, am I now being accused of trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? And we can see in the first 9 verses that we looked at last week that Paul's heart isn't to people please, but to help people understand the unearned favor from God and to help get people rooted in the gospel of grace through the cross of Jesus and his resurrection. He goes on and says, if I was still trying to please people. And I love that it's there. I love that that phrase is there. If I was still trying to please people. I'm really reassured by the fact that Paul has, in that small part of that question, or statement, sorry, he reveals that this is something that he once did. He was once someone who tried to win the approval of other people. Well, we know from who Paul was before he met Jesus, that he was someone that loved the opinion of others to be high about him. Someone paraphrased this question by this verse by saying, there was a day that I was a high flyer in Judaism, and most certainly I coveted and courted favor, admiration, and approval of those around me. But those days are forever gone, and I live only to please God. Paul used to be a people pleaser. He used to be someone who loved the approval of others. Look how righteous I am. But he isn't that anymore because he's met Jesus. And we're reassured that that's what he was, but now he's not. But then any of us, since we've become a follower of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, any of you, me, have we been tempted to seek the approval of other people? I won't look at you if you're nodding or shaking. In Galatians chapter 2, which we'll look at in a few weeks' time, we see that Paul still understands the temptation of what people-pleasing behavior has, the desire, the temptation. He goes to Jerusalem, as we read in chapter 2. And during that time, he describes how it would have been very easy to fudge his convictions, to water them down in order to be accepted and approved of. He knows what it's like to be a people pleaser. He knows what it's like to be tempted to people please. And later on in chapter 2, verse 11 to 15, we see that Paul knows what it's like to release people from people pleasing behavior and seek people who are stuck in seeking after the approval of others rather than living by grace. So this guy who's written this one verse knows what he's talking about. So we should be able to really take heed of his message this morning. I wonder if I put this list up on the screen, I wonder if there are any things that you recognize in your life or someone else's. These are signs of people-pleasing behavior. I've tried to summarize them and group them together. I don't want to spend so long going through these that we run out of time to go deeper into God's words. But it's really, really important that we recognize these signs, because if we are stuck in them, or someone else that we know is stuck in patterns, in a cyclical pattern of destruction, we'll look at the impact in a moment. We need to recognize it so that we can release them. We need to recognize it in ourselves so we can repent of it and receive release as well. Are you someone who avoids confrontation or disagreement or expressing true feelings, or you behave in a certain way so that you avoid disapproval of others? Maybe you seek validation from others, seeking to be liked by everyone. Maybe you overcommit. You have difficulty saying no. And you always say yes to avoid conflict or disagreement. Maybe you over-apologize, even for minor things, or things that aren't even your fault, in order to avoid upsetting others. Maybe you overextend yourself, taking on more tasks or responsibilities than you can handle in order to please others or gain their approval. Or you give over what is required, giving excessively to others in order to win their approval. Maybe it's prioritizing other people's needs, their feelings, their emotions, before your own. You might think, well, hang on, that last one and some of the things, isn't that part of being a follower of Jesus? We serve other people. We've got to think about, what's the motivation behind it? What's the filling, the fill that we get back from giving out? Is it that we get them to like us more? Or are we doing it because we're in a place of completely loved by God? And we're serving someone else, prioritizing someone else, because Jesus has asked us to. The impact on ourselves as followers of Jesus, or ourselves just generally. But let me just mention about followers of Jesus, is that we dilute the gospel message. We dilute grace, or we could dilute grace. We ultimately forfeit the joy and freedom found in Jesus. Maybe one of the impacts is that we become spiritually stagnant. We compromise on our integrity. I wonder what our church would be like if every decision was made to please people. Or I wonder what your household would be like, or your workplace would be like, or your friendships would be like if you did everything just to please someone else and to win their approval. What would be the impact? Well, these are some of the things that impact the cycle of destructive behavior. And the causes, these are some. Maybe it's the way we've been brought up. Come on, smile for your uncle. He is friendly, obviously. Honest. Maybe our upbringing, we will forgo our own feelings, forgo our own well-being, just for someone else. Well, sometimes that's okay, but maybe actually the way we've been brought up has got us into a cycle where we will live for someone else's approval and say so. Maybe the behavior is demanded by another individual, that because of their influence, their character, their demeanor, they pull us in, or like tentacles, they draw us into people-pleasing behavior. And we just want them to say, well done. Because we're afraid of them, possibly. We don't want them to make things more difficult. Maybe there's a desire to fit in or not to miss out. Maybe there's been trauma and we feel insecure or low, or have low self-esteem. These are some of the causes. I wonder if there are things up there or that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind now that have caused you to act in this way. One of the things that Paul recognizes is that people pleasers only seek to please influential people. I know that he knows that because he's been a people pleaser. And as someone who was uber religious and trying to live his life in a legalistic way, he would not have sought the favor of someone who was insignificant or less than him. He wouldn't have tried to get them feeding into his sense of righteousness. We only seek the approval of people we think are worth having the approval of. People of influence, people of authority, people of power. And that makes us idolaters. You might think, well, where's the link there? In the Bible, in the Old Testament a lot, there's a whole load of teaching about, or stories about, the people of God had idols. And these were things, any things that were put in the place of God, put in the place of God Almighty. And people pleasers, or people who get into approval seeking behavior from others, or seeking approval from others, make idols of people and crave their approval as though they were the bread of life. The opinion or judgment or potential judgment of other people has been so elevated that they begin to behave in a certain way. that shifts them from grace. And we need to recognize if we are stuck or repeatedly getting into this kind of behavior, we are also guilty of idolatry, of putting other people's view of us, or their voice over us or to us, their opinion of us, their judgment of us. We've put them in God's place. And this morning, as part of Jesus' ministry to release people from people pleasing, he's going to knock down some idols. But there's also this thing of hiding from the shame of the cross. People pleasers often hide things so that they're not found out and they're not disapproved of. And not wishing to be crass or go into too much detail and things like that, but the Galatians had been tempted to cut off their foreskins, which are hidden, in order to win approval of those that couldn't see them. And they had moved away from just resting in the approval of God who sees everything. The Galatians had moved away from the cross where Jesus had done it all and gone after legalistic things, things that are hidden, in order to earn approval. And Paul, in different parts of his letter, encouraged them to be marked with the cross, to live their lives in the shape of a cross. In chapter 6, verse 17, to carry the cross and have the marks of the cross on them, not hide from its shame, but to be crucified with Christ, chapter 2, verse 20, and to boast in the cross of Jesus, chapter 6, verse 14. Because Paul recognizes that removing the offense of the cross, the offense of the gospel of grace, would please people but rob the gospel of power. That's chapter 5, verse 11. As I said, I believe Jesus wants to get us into a place where we are released and we help release others from people-pleasing behavior and from seeking approval of others. The first thing is to recognize. Recognize where you are tempted to step into people-pleasing behavior, or where you are actually currently stuck in seeking the approval of others rather than of God's. And it might be that God's Holy Spirit can help you now, in this moment, to recognize a relationship that is unhealthy and has got into a habit or a place where you are seeking their approval more than you are resting in the approval of God. In the verse that we're looking at, I've read it numerous times over the years, it says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? And I've read it in a way of, I'm either going to be living for the approval of people or living for the approval of God. I've got a choice to make. 10 days ago, I read it, and God, by his Holy Spirit, gave me fresh eyes on it. Am I living for the approval of people or resting in the approval of God? Because I cannot earn it. I cannot live to try and earn the approval of God. It's an impossible task because he's already given it. So why work for something that he's already given? So in this verse, we need to recognize that there are times where we might not be resting in the approval of God. I'm not saying he approves everything we do, every way that we behave or live, but his heart towards us is one of approval and love. If we move away from that in any way to get the approval of others, we need to recognize it. Admit it. Explore any underlying reasons why you've shifted and moved into people-pleasing behavior. And then reject it. Spit it out. Get rid of it. I thank God for the graciousness of a former boss of mine. Because the way that I rejected the way I had been behaving wasn't necessarily the best wording that I used. I'm not explaining it very well. They asked me how I'm doing, and I said, I'm doing really well. I've had a great time with God over this last week, and I'm in a position where I don't care what you say. And I know how God thinks of me. And I just honour God for that person's graciousness in receiving that. Because they could have been really cross. They could have rejected me, and I wasn't doing it for that. I didn't care. But I got to a place where I had rejected it, and by rejecting it, it needed to come out. And maybe this morning, as God begins to release you from seeking the approval of others, you need to actually speak out, I reject it. I reject the way that I've been living. I reject the pattern that I've been practicing, and express to God that you want out of that. Rejecting it, we're repenting of it. We're turning away from it. And we are either embracing for the first time or re-embracing the truth. Paul, in his first two verses, and then in verse 3 and 4 of this letter, starts by saying about Jesus on the cross. And this is the truth. This is the truth of grace. That every single judgment that anyone ever has of you or has had of you, either spoken or perceived, rightly or wrongly perceived, rightly or wrongly spoken, every single judgment was nailed to the cross of Jesus, and therefore, it's not on you. Not on you anymore. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. If therefore you have received the good news of Jesus, if you've said, Jesus, that gift of grace, I'm putting my faith in you and I'm receiving your salvation. There is no condemnation, no judgment. So the judgments that you're seeking of other people, their approval of you or over you, nail it to the cross and keep it nailed. Embrace the truth that when Jesus died, he died taking that judgment on you. We must not entrust ourselves to the judgment of others any longer, but entrust ourselves to the judgment of God. Receive from God. I like to think of this as a daily shower of grace. You know when people don't shower, it's noticeable? If I don't take a daily shower of grace in the morning, my family recognize it. Maybe Maria recognizes it. That's my PA. If I don't take a daily shower of grace to receive from God and say, God, I'm just resting in your approval of me, not because I've earned it, but because you have done it. Not earn his approval, but we can receive it. If we don't take that daily shower of grace, it will be noticeable, not just to others, but in the fruit of your life. Remember last week, what our roots are in, it has a consequence on the fruit. If we root ourselves in that shower of grace, receiving from God, it will make a difference. As we practice that shower of grace, one of the things that I try to pray is that I'm living for the one who already approves of me. I'm living for the one who loves me with an everlasting, unchanging love, whose view of me is faithful, not fickle. His view of me will never change. His heart towards me will never change. And the last one is to remember Jesus, not just what he did, but how he lived. This image is from season 4 of The Chosen. I haven't yet seen it, but I've nicked some of the images from it, and I've seen some of the trailers. I love this scene. I've seen a kind of a trailer for this scene. He is confronting religious people. And he's got a crowd around him, and the religious people are shouting at him. And he's standing there, not in an aggressive way, but in beautiful confidence and security of who he is and whose he is. In Mark chapter 1, we read of Jesus' baptism, and at Jesus' baptism, there was a voice from heaven with God, his Father, saying, "This is my whom I love, and I am well pleased." We need to remember Jesus and take, if we're trying to be a fully devoted disciple of Jesus and to be more and more like him, we need to not just remember him, but also live as he lived and remember that when God said that over his son, because we're followers of Jesus, it says in John chapter 1 verse 12 that we can become children of God. And therefore, what the Father says over the Son, the Father says over us, that he loves us. And with us, he is well pleased. We need to remember who we are and whose we are. And being rooted with our Father, that's that daily shower of grace and receiving from the Father. And as a result of that, not out of duty, but out of choice and desire, we live as a servant, like Jesus did, not to earn God's approval, but to fulfill the purposes of our Father. And by doing that, we set boundaries. We set patterns, we set priorities to be grace-filled, rooted in grace. Practicing saying no to certain things so that we can say a stronger yes to other things as God leads us to do so. This morning, I believe Jesus is going to release people from people-pleasing and to equip us to release others. To do that, we need to recognize it, reject it, re-embrace the truth, receive from God, and remember Jesus. Can I invite the band to come up as we pray? It might be during this time you need to just be silent before Jesus and recognize where you have fallen into this people-pleasing behavior or seeking the approval of others. And then in the silence, reject that behavior and say, "God, I want out of that cycle and I want to come into your grace." We would love it to have the honor of praying with you. Sometimes when we say it to someone else, it changes the power and the impact in our lives, because we're confessing something to someone else and they're praying with us in agreement before the Father. So I encourage you to come and be prayed with. Not just prayed for, but prayed with. And it might be that the prayer team say to you, "You tell Jesus what you're rejecting." And then you say. And then and allow God's Holy Spirit to embrace you with his grace, his love and his truth. Can I encourage you to stand as we pray? Jesus, we come back to you. We come back to your grace. We reject the times where we have gone into seeking other people's approval or raise their voice above yours, raise their judgment of us above yours. Jesus, where we have elevated someone else into the place that you should have, forgive us. Forgive us of our idolatry. We reject that behavior and turn from it and turn to you. Thank you that we cannot ever earn your approval, but you give it anyway. You did everything that was needed. You died on the cross so that we could come to you as your children and hear Father God of highest heaven saying over us, my child, my son, my daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. God, lead us in responding to you, not just in these moments, but with our lives, where there are cycles of bad behavior or bad actions happening. Break it by the power of your words and by the power of your spirit. And lead us into cycles and patterns that are life-giving, rooted in your grace, for your glory. Amen.